state of Texas, specifically the city of Austin. And I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He indeed is Lord. Lord over all, Lord above all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, we always remind each other that, because sometimes in the midst of all that's going on in the world, in the midst of the deceptions that take place, in the midst of the lies, the trickery, the deceit, the false doctrines, the false workers, and all of the things that go on, in Psalm 24, verse 1, never ever forget that it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That means that He owns you and He owns everybody else, that the whole thing is His. Verse 2 says, "For He had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." So God set it up, God designed it, God put it in place, and He's the one that has allowed and caused for the reality that we have, the reality that we experience, the time that we're now in. So there's something greater that's going on than what our perceptions are. There is something greater going on than what is our thoughts. There's something greater going on than us structuring for ourselves a perfect little life here in this world. You know, I know that there's something that goes on with each and every one of us where we have ideas, we have plans, we have things that maybe are desires that are in our hearts. You know, and a lot of times those things can be a struggle because, you know, we want to see certain things happen or certain things come to pass. Sometimes we're influenced by societal pressures or social pressures or friends or family or, you know, well-meaning people. And a lot of things can come our way, and expectations come into our life on different levels, in different ways. And there's things that sometimes people that we hope for, you know, dreams that we would like to see accomplished. The scriptures say that hope deferred makes the heart sick, you know, but a longing fulfilled is a heart's delight. And, you know, many times, you know, for the people of God, we've had hope deferred time and time and time again. Now, what do you do when your hope is deferred? And what do you do when, you know, ultimately, knowing that the Lord is in control, knowing that, you know, He is all-powerful, He is all-present, and He is all-knowing. So, you know, they used to say that, you know, in the old school days, that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. A bunch of omnis. if you're in India, an omni is a tiny little van that people pack a bunch of people in, but it's a very, very small vehicle. But anyways, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. So God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and He is everywhere. So, knowing that God is everywhere, all-powerful, and all-knowing, then when we go through life and we end up in struggles, we end up in situations, we end up in difficulties, how now do we feel? How now do we respond when we realize that our Heavenly Father, that knows everything, that has the power to be able to do something about it, doesn't? Or when what the desires are of our heart go unfulfilled or are denied, now what? And, you know, we are told from the Word, and we believe truly that we serve a loving God. But how now do we reconcile the deferring of our hopes, the deferring of our desires, the delay of things that we would want? What do you do with that? where do you go with that? Especially when, you know, we look towards a good God, a good Father. You know, here's the thing. There's some what initially seem like mysteries, but I think as you walk with God longer, it starts to become more clear. You know, some of the mysteries are like, okay, the world that we live in, why is everything so so difficult, so challenging? Why is there so much evil that's going on around us? And on an individual level, the hopes deferred and the struggles that we have and things being destroyed or uprooted or just blocks. And here's where you start to realize, and I started to realize, that there's something more important going on than the fulfillment of our individual desires while we're here and we're in this life. You know, that and I know that sometimes we maybe don't like to hear something like that, but also knowing that we serve a good God, we serve a God that loves us, we also serve a God that allowed His Son to come into this world, to was born into difficult circumstances, into a challenging family situation, lived, you know, a very basic, very rustic life, and had a 3-year ministry which had a lot of power in it, but ultimately was abandoned by everybody and suffered the worst possible death in the natural that could ever be given to anybody during that time. The worst that they could come up with, they did to Him. And an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God watched all that take place and did not, you know, I mean, hey, you know, Jesus, when He was saying, look, He said, don't you know that if I ask my Father, He'll send 12 legions of angels, you know, right now, you know, to come help me, but how would the scriptures be fulfilled? So, you know, on one level, Jesus could have asked, and things would have changed in the situation that He was going to go through. On another level, God did not stop the process. You know, He loved His Son. He loved His Son. You know, I mean, there's no measure for the depth of the love that God had for Jesus. And yet, the things that Jesus went through were the most horrendous that could possibly be dealt to anyone having a human experience in this lifetime. That being the case, how now do we live? And how now do we go through the experience of this life? And also, when we do go through difficulties, what is going on in the difficulties and the challenges that we face? Because here's something. Up front, Jesus said, you know, in John 16, you know, towards the end of the chapter, let me grab that for you really quick. John chapter 16. And let's see. Verse 31 says, Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, Jesus said these words to the disciples before, you know, before he went into and through the horrific experience of the crucifixion, and he knew he was going to be denied. He knew he was going to be betrayed by one of his own, and he speaks to them about them having peace. He speaks to them about them having tribulation and telling them to be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. Now, it's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to apply the word. You know, it's one thing to hear, be of good cheer. It's another thing to actually be of good cheer, you know, when you go through and you face certain things. Because, you know, sometimes when the things that we experience in the external reality, they're not nice. Or they may be difficult. Or they may be a struggle. Or they may be a trial. And you know, God knows what we're going through. But also, there's a deeper thing that needs to take place. All right, part of the deeper thing that needs to take place is a chipping away of who we are in the world and in our flesh to reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory. And many times, it is not without pain and adversity and struggle and trial and difficulty. It's not without those things taking place in the external that we press in to him, and we press in to God, and we look to him, and that's the kind of things that are almost sometimes necessary to get us to a place where we are broken and we cry out to him. You know, sometimes it's the challenges, it's the difficulties, it's the struggles, it's the pain that causes us to look to the Father. And we see his hand working on our behalf. We see his hand strong on our lives. And many times it's not without the difficult situations that we go through that we grow. All right, let me give you a natural example. Like, think about, you know, something like as simple as exercise. Now, God gave us our physical bodies because we walk around in a living revelation of so many of the principles of God, so many of the principles of the kingdom of God, so many of the principles of the throne of God are even contained in our physical body. But along those lines, you know, with the physical body, you know, it is many times when you train, it's not without pushing your physical limitation. Like say a muscle, the only way that a muscle actually grows, so when you see somebody that has, you know, bigger or stronger muscles, the way that they grow is first someone goes in and they will exercise, and when they exercise and they strain that muscle, or they tax it, you know, so they lift a weight, but they lift a weight, you know, to the point that the muscle can't lift that weight anymore. What happens is even within that muscle, it gets broken down, or sometimes it gets tiny tears in it. And in order to be able to cope with the demand that muscle will have to face the next time, it rebuilds. And when it rebuilds stronger than it was before. So when the body rebuilds it, and when the body uses the food that's there to rebuild, it rebuilds stronger than it was when it got torn. So that's why when people begin to exercise, and at the start, things are very difficult, and as they move forward and as they progress, the things that were at the start for them become easier. So then they will increase the intensity, or they'll increase the challenge of what they're doing, so that the next time it's at a higher level than what it was before. And, you know, so there's that natural example that's right there, but then you look at somebody like a world-class athlete in a world-class stage, and you see somebody that's gone through that breaking numbers of times, time and time and time again, gone through the discipline and gone through the process of honing themselves to the point where they're able to be at a level. And then you watch what they're capable of doing after that process. And it's incredible. And that didn't just happen in a day, you know, but it did happen, and it happened through a process of essentially what would be discipleship or discipline. You know, discipleship is, you know, when Jesus told people to, told his followers to go make disciples of all nations, he didn't say go make converts. He said make disciples. And a disciple is somebody that is a disciplined person and somebody that persists consistently in that right thing, the right way, the right time, in the right place, continues forward in that, that with the right guidance, continues forward and is prepared for the challenges that they face. So for us, for example, when we approach things now that was just a natural example. So when we approach things from a spiritual level or a level of the soul or the mind, when we are challenged, when we're taxed, when we are oppressed by the world that we're in, and when we respond from the Word, from the Spirit, from faith, from a place of trust and intimacy with God, from a place of having a true connection with Him, when we respond from that, as we continue to go forward in that, we now build up our spiritual strength. We now build up our spiritual reserve as such. And a lot of the things that you know we might go through in the future or today, if we had to face those same things, you know, a few years ago, we would probably melt. But now, when we face those challenges in this day, because we've come through some stuff and we've seen the faithfulness in the hand of God over and over again, now we know, okay, God is going to take me through. And I know what my God can do. So Jesus, you know, lived that out. You know, someone like David lived that out. You know, David, when he went to face Goliath, that wasn't the first time that he'd faced a challenge. You know, even when he was speaking to the king before he went and faced Goliath, he said, look, I've faced a bear and I've faced a lion. You know, and he said, this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like them. And David had faced the challenge of, you know, an attack by a devourer, an attack by somebody that or something that was seeking to hurt and harm the sheep. And he'd seen it, you know, at a higher level each time. And each time as it escalated, and it started with a bear, and then it went up to a lion. And when it came to Goliath, you know, Goliath was not the first time that he faced a challenge. So when he went out, he had already had some experiences with God. Even at 16, he knew, he trusted God. He had already known that the God that he served was able to bring him through. And what did he trust in? He didn't trust in, you know, his slingshot. You know, he said, look, you know, you come against me with sword and stave, but I come against you in the name of the Lord my God. So, you know, when David faced up against Goliath, it wasn't based on his natural ability that he went against him. When David went up against Goliath, he went against him based on who he knew that he served. He went against Goliath based on what it was ultimately that he knew that God would do through him. So, let me see here. All right, let me find this one for you really quick. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's see here. Okay. Verse 41. And all right, so actually verse 40 says, and he took his staff and his in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David unto the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. In verse 48, And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose, and shouted, and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley, until thou comest to the valley, that to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaaram, even unto Gath and into Ekron. So David, something that he knew was David had faith. He knew that the God that he served would carry him through. And it was not contingent on his external circumstances. And, you know, as David continued to walk his life out, that was a key aspect to him being a man after God's own heart. David had his problems. David had his issues. David had his weaknesses. David had his mistakes. You know, I think sometimes we expect, I don't know where this came from, where all of a sudden, you know, people that God would establish or set up, that they expected them to be perfect people, because the only one that was ever perfect was Jesus. And even with him, they even tried to find fault. And they said that he was a wine bibber and a glutton and a friend of the worst kinds of people. So they tried to make Jesus out to be somebody even. It's incredible. So even when Jesus was talking about that, he said, look, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and you say he's got a demon. And, you know, the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say he's a wine bibber and a glutton and a friend of the worst types of people. So, you know, but wisdom is proved right by our children. So wisdom has offspring. And the offspring that wisdom have is the evidence and the result that comes from obedience going through with the will and the plan of the Father. And when Jesus lived out his life, you know, he, as you just kept going forward, you saw the result of trust. But sometimes you had to keep going. Even past the grave. Sometimes you had to go even past the crucifixion. You had to keep going even through that. And I think a lot of times, you know, we expect to see certain things within our own tiny little window of life. But we don't realize that, you know, we are part of the body, and there's also a part of a lot bigger thing that's going on than just our time in the earth. So that's why it's important that, you know, we realize it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about the kingdom. It's about truth. It's about light. It's about the plan that God intends, and to be on His page. And to know that His word is greater than anything in the natural. See, David could face up against Goliath, not because he was a skilled man with a slingshot. No, if his trust was in his own ability, you know, he would have run the other way too. But he knew the God that he served. And this is where, too, I think so often it's crucial that the people of God know the God that they serve. Because though the world may put up imposing enemies against us, and in the natural, they would seem to be indestructible. Those that could be in the natural, how could you even ever defeat them? Even in scriptures, it talks about, you know, who can make war against the beast in the book of Revelation. So that system that comes up, that final system, which we see beginning to develop and, you know, well on its way even now, who can make war against that? Because in the natural, it seems insurmountable. But in the realm of the spirit, when you know the God that you serve, just like Elijah shut down an entire nation from his knees, Elijah prayed, and when he prayed, he shut down an entire nation. Didn't have to, he just, all he had to do was call on the name of the Lord according to what God intended, knowing who he was, and stepping out and stepping through in that. You and I, we need to know who we are. We need to know who we are from God's perspective, not from the world's perspective, not from the brainwashing that comes through many of the religious systems of the world, but we need to know who we are as the Spirit of God reveals that. And this is on an individual level. You're not going to get this from an institution. There is no program that's going to reveal this to you. This comes from a consummation with the Spirit of God. This comes from being one with Him and His life flowing through yours. And this is a real thing. This is an authentic thing. This is not something that happens based on the efforts of man. But this is something that happens based on the will of God and our just walking it out. You just got to walk it out. You got to take a step. That's the other thing too. David had to take a step. You know, he had to allow himself to be in that situation. He had to, you know, David was God's man, but he had to be God's man. You know, David was God's man, but he had to be God's man. He had to rise up with what the Spirit of God was putting in him. And in doing that, you know, things took shape. Things took place. Things happened because of that. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and as he continued to go forward in that, he kept seeing time and time and time again the hand of God working upon and through his life. But he went forward in boldness and knowledge and understanding who he was in God's plan. So know who you are in the plan and purpose of God. Know that God has your life. Know that in His Spirit. Listen, there is not a single nation in this world that has more power than one child of the living God that walks in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Zero. You can take the most powerful nation in this world and you can stand them up against one child of the living God that knows to call upon the name of the Lord that they serve. And the child of the Lord will walk through. You know, God has a way of doing that. Just read the book of Daniel. You see that. God has a way of taking care of His. And, you know, if it's the case that God wants His children to come home, because even with, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were put in that spot with the king, where the king wanted them to bow before, you know, the world, and they said, look, you know, King, we're not even going to be careful in answering you according to this matter, you know, because let it be known that, you know, the God that we serve, he can save us. And even if he doesn't, O King, know that we're not going to worship the thing that you set up. We're not bowing ourselves before the system that's against God. You know, we may be stuck in a particular external situation because of the way that life has sort of unfolded, but our spirits are free, and our spirits choose light, choose truth, choose to serve the living God, no matter what you might try to bring against us. And you can't take that away. You can't take that away from me. You can't. You can, of your free will, choose which way you want to go. You can choose who you want to serve. But nobody can take that from you. That's your choice. It's a God-given gift. And you can choose. And if you hear this day, and if you're on the wrong path, if you're going the way of the world, you can repent, turn around, be saved. You can call on the name of Jesus Christ, and he will meet you right where you're at. And when he meets you right where you're at, and you call out to Jesus, and you say, Lord Jesus, I don't like the way that I'm going. Please help me. Please save me. Please show me the way out. Please, Father, in Jesus' name, save me. I received your gift of eternal life. I received the blood of Jesus. Wash me, cleanse me in Jesus' name, and save me and walk me through this. If you do that, you know, he'll meet you. And if you walk that out, no one can take that from you. No one. Nothing in this world is more powerful than the one that we serve. Nothing in this world is more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. Him alone. So you got to put yourself out and take that step, though. Just like David, you got to trust the word of the Lord. You got to trust what God has said. You got to trust the one that has spoken it. And when you know, and listen, David was a teenager when he faced up against Goliath. It didn't take him a lifetime in seminary to understand this. All it takes is a moment. All it takes is a simple revelation of who God is and who you are in him. And you can go up against anything. And though the world may try to tell you otherwise, once you know the truth, you can't get away from it. They can't get away from it. They can't take it. It's done. Game over. Once you know that you've got a spiritual bank account that is full, they can't get it away from you. Now they can try. If you choose to give up your access, then you're stuck. But they can't take away from what's rightfully yours as an heir, as a co-heir with Christ Jesus, as a son and a daughter of the living God. They can't take it away from you. Once you start accessing that which is yours in the realm of the Spirit, and that which is yours as a kingdom child, as an ambassador of the living God, who is going to take that from you? You can do incredible things when you walk with him, when you trust him, when you know him. Take that step. Go for it. And know the God that you serve. And you'll also see that, you know, as you take that step, the challenges that you faced before, the struggles that you faced before, they will turn into the stepping stones to go to a greater height in him. We go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. You'll look back and you'll see, even as we talked at the very start, how hope deferred makes the heart sick and a longing fulfilled is a heart's delight. And you'll see how all those things from before, all those struggles, turned into the very things that bridged to the ability that you will have in the future to go through. And that God is going to work through the combination of the experiences that you've had so that you yourself will have a trust with him when you go into the struggles in the future. And then through all of that, then you're also going to know that's going to be him that carries you through. And he's going to take you through based on his power, his ability. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He's going to take you through. He's going to do it. It's not going to be you, it's going to be him. And you're going to know that it's going to be him because of everything that you've come through before. And every struggle that you've had, here's the other thing too. So many times the things that we think would fulfill us, things that we think would make us happy, things that we think would be a great life and all of that, put those before him and trust him. So put that before God and say, Lord God, I trust you. And I know that you've got the best for me. But I want what you know is right for me. Not what I would think, but what you would know. And just help me to have peace in how I walk out my life. Because it's your life. I was bought with a price. Lord, you live your life through me. And let me just walk with you. Let me trust and know and see things from your perspective. If Jesus looked at his particular situation going to the cross from his own perspective, you know, and he struggled with that too. He struggled to the point of sweating blood. But if he looked at it just from his own perspective, you know, I wonder if he would have gone through if he was taking it from that point. But scriptures say, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame. And God has set him, you know, at the right hand. So, you know, when Jesus went through, you know, the joy set before him. Well, part of that joy is the joy of being married to us for all eternity, having us with him for all eternity. It was necessary for the cross in order for you and I to have that eternal hope. So for the joy set before him, the joy of having us with him for all eternity, for us to know, for us to be restored, to be redeemed, for us to be able to have and to live an abundant life in our time in the earth, and then to go on to be with him, the way that he was making for us, to and through this life. For the joy set before him, Jesus did what he did. So, understand that once you have the mind of Christ and you ask God for his perspective on the situations you face. Bring, you know, absolutely, you got things in your heart, bring them before him. He knows, but also know that you live in a monarchy. You have a king, and you want to hear what the king says. You want the words of life that come from the king. You want the direction from the king. You want him to lead and guide you. And as he does, you're going to see that being fused with his spirit, he's going to lead you into an incredible adventure, an incredible path. And that path is going to have ups and downs and turning arounds and struggles and challenges and all kinds of things, but it's going to be the most amazing life. It's going to be beyond anything you could have ever imagined or done in and of yourself, ever. The world is incredibly boring, awfully stale and dead. They have nothing. Even their illusions of what they try to put out suck. They have nothing. They're empty, soulless, dead, cut off. And they're just looking for batteries to keep them afloat for a little bit longer. You, my brothers and sisters, have life. You, my brothers and sisters, have truth. You, my brothers and sisters, have a wellspring that comes from God because you're connected to him that flows through you, and it's incredible. You have the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Walk with him. Trust him. Be what he made you to be. And be encouraged in Jesus' name. With that, hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. And you can also reach us through our Facebook page. But keep on keeping on. Know that God is in control. And yeah, we love you guys. All right, hey, we'll talk to you sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.